In an essay on criticism, the 18th century poet, English poet, Alexander Pope, wrote, "To err is human, to forgive is divine. To err is human, and to forgive is divine." Clearly, all of us have made mistakes. And even when we tried our best to do something, some reason, one way or another, we tend to screw up relationship, don't we? We tend to somehow say the wrong thing at the wrong time, or even when we meant the best, we hurt other in a very unintentional way. So to err is to be human, because we're not perfect. We are imperfect. We sin and we make mistakes all the time. And that is why we need forgiveness. And in his essay on criticism, Alexander Pope writes clearly that when we choose to forgive, we participate in the love of God. Because to forgive is divine. Forgiveness is hard and we cannot do it alone. We need God to help us to forgive. Think about that. Forgiveness is hard, isn't it? Especially when someone has hurt us deeply. And that's why we need God. We need God to forgive, because this has to be a supernatural act. But beyond supernatural grace that God given us for us to forgive someone, we also need to choose to forgive, because forgiveness is based on love and springs out of love. And what does this mean to love? St. Thomas Aquinas said, to love someone is to will the good of that person. To love someone is to will the good of that person. So think about that. Even when our enemy have hurt us or people have hurt us, we are called to love them by willing their own goods. Even our worst enemies, we have to pray for that person, for the salvation of their soul, that God moves their heart and could change their heart toward conversion, just like He is also calling us and moving our heart toward conversion. We should never hate someone enough that we condemn them to hell or salvation without God. The person that had hurt us the most, we are called to pray for their salvation. Pray for their conversion. Pray that God moves him or her toward his divine providence, his divine love, his divine will, just as he is moving us toward our own personal conversion. My brothers and sisters, it's hard. Could that go against our humanistic desire and tendency? Because when someone do me wrong, I'm going to seek retribution. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to make it so that the other person have a hellish life. I will will evil upon that person. Pray that that person suffer like he or she had made me suffer. We become petty. We become selfish. And we are wrath and hatred and anger when we choose not to forgive. I don't know about you. I have experienced that before. And that's not a good way to live. It doesn't. Because we killed ourselves first. We let ourselves be wrapped in our own self-pettiness, our own anger, our own hatred, so that when we look at our fellow men, when we live our life, there's no longer joy. It's all bitterness. And if my life is hell, guess what? I'm going to make your life hell too. And guess what? We're going to go towards what the 20th century French philosopher called. His name was Jean-Paul Sartre. He said, my neighbor is hell. Well, our neighbor might be hellish for us or have given us hell, but we need to have a bigger heart, the heart of God to choose to forgive, or the heart to at least pray for those who have offended us, so that this person may not live in hell, or may we not live in hell, but may we taste the goodness of God's love for us. And that takes forgiveness. That requires God's grace. And that requires us to will the good of the other, will the good of our enemy. In the first reading today, we have heard very clearly that the Lord calls us to forgive your neighbor's injustice, so that when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. The word of the Lord, not my word. He said clearly, forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Think of the commandments. Hate not your neighbor. Remember the Most High's covenant and overlook their faults. All of a sudden, we say, Christianity is hard, isn't it? But why is it hard? Because it's real. Because it challenges us to the core. Well, and then we heard in the responsorial Psalm 2, the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion. But most of the time, we are hateful and petty, quick to anger and rich in vengeance. Unlike the Lord, who is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion, we're kind of petty. And we fill our life with hatred, quick to anger, and rich in our vengeance for other people. So when we do those things, are we living what the Lord said? Don't talk about righteousness. Don't talk about the commandments if we are not willing to love the other person. Really? Or else we become hypocrites. We can be sitting here and be self-righteous, think that we're all better, until we choose to pray and to love the other person and will their good and their salvation. We give lip service, and our words are empty because our heart do not belong to God. Words become cheap until we choose to love, when we choose to forgive, when we choose to pray, when we choose to embrace, when we choose to let go, when we choose to forgive, we expand our heart and allow God to work, to change the other person just like He is changing us. And that's why when St. Peter in the gospel today asked the Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, the Lord said 77 times. As many as needed. And may we not be like that pitiful servant that go and look on the faults of our brothers and sisters in order to justify our own way of life. But may we be moved toward compassion to love them. And St. Paul said clearly in the second reading today, none of us live for ourselves and no one died for ourselves. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. He said clearly, St. Paul's words, not my words. So we die to our own ego, our own selfishness, in order to live for God. So when we die to our hatred, our self-pity, our own pettiness, we live for the Lord. There's no way around it. I don't know how to preach the gospel any other way. I don't. It's only one way. And that's the way of the Lord. The way not to overcome evil with evil, but to overcome evil with good. To overcome vengeance and hatred, not with revenge, but to overcome all things with love. And of course, you have heard in recent days, Father Thomas Uzumaliil, the chaplain of Mother Teresa, the Missionaries of Charity sisters in Yemen, just got released by ISIS about a few days ago. He was captured for 18 months by ISIS. And what was the first thing that he did when he arrived in Rome? The first thing that he did is that he asked that he would be able to go to the Cilician Chapel. And once he reached the Cilician Chapel, he asked to have his confession heard. What was the second thing that he asked to do after his release? That he would be able to celebrate Mass. And once he met with the Holy Father, he told the Holy Father this. When the Holy Father invited him to the Casa Santa Maria where he lives, Father Thomas told him, "Holy Father, during my time of captivity, I offered all of my suffering for you and for the mission of the church." And the Holy Father was so moved by that, that he kissed the hands of Father Thomas and said, "Thank you for being a priest of God." Father Thomas teaches us how to forgive. If we were in his situation, what would we have done? Make ground zero out of where ISIS lived. Take vengeance. Kill them all. But what did he ask? "Holy Father, I offer all of my suffering for you and for the mission of the church." Suffering becomes redemptive because suffering leads us toward greater love. Because in suffering, we choose to forgive our enemy. My brothers and sisters, if you don't believe what I said today, go on the internet and read what Father Thomas had said. He teaches us. 18 months in captivity by ISIS. And when he was released, he chose to forgive. He chose to love. And he chose to overcome evil, not with evil, but to overcome evil with real love. That's the difference between a Christian martyr and any other martyr, especially an Islamic martyr. Any other martyr, whether political or any other religious martyrdom, they're willing to take the life of other people in order to spread their message. But the Christian martyr is different. He or she is willing to lay down his or her life for the sake of love, for the sake of Christ. Unless we're willing to do that, our talk is cheap, and our words are empty, and nobody is going to believe us. Live the gospel. Live the gospel with forgiveness, or at least praying for the conversion of heart of our enemies. That God bring into fulfillment what he had begun in them, just that what he had begun in us. To move both of us toward the truth, and that he brings all things toward love. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, today I'm going to end my homily with what the Lord has said in the first reading again in the book of Sirach. Forgive your neighbor's injustice, so that when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven.